I believe this thing is on. We have an awful time with the batteries. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll take our Bibles and turn somewhere tonight for the mess. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. God, this evening you've given to us to be in your house. I pray, God, you'll bless the service tonight. God, what I'm about to preach and, God, what we're about to study, I pray, God, it'll be a blessing to our hearts. God, may we see what we have in Christ tonight. I thank you for all the young people that we have. What a blessing it is to my heart to see them here, to see them sitting on the front row, ready to read God's word with me. And I not only pray for them, but I pray for others. God, that you'll bless and have your will away in our hearts tonight. And God, may we glorify thee. God, bless the sick. Help those who are going to work this week. God, comfort them, nurture them. And God, I pray, God, we'll see thy goodness in our lives. Lord, we love you tonight. We need you. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Good to see you tonight. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to the 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you will. Tonight be an unusual message for us. It's only a two-point message. Usually I try to have 3 or 4 points, but tonight it's only 2 points. And so we'll be out here. Plenty of time to go home and get a bowl of ice cream and eat that and go to bed. But look here, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're only going to read just a few verses together tonight. But it gives us a great insight of who we were and what we are now. Look here, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's begin reading in verse 9 and we'll read through verse 12 together. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought under the power of any." Look what it says here, if you would, the beginning of verse 11. The Bible says, "And such were some of you." And as you read that correctly, that means there was a time in all of our lives that we were something different than what we are tonight. And my friend, 8 years ago, I was not a Baptist. I was not a Baptist preacher. 8 years ago, I was not a husband. 8 years ago, I was not a good son. I was not a good brother. 8 years ago, I wasn't a good father. There was a time when I was something different than what I am now. And I look around, I see different people that's been saved for amount of years. I see some people that's been saved since I've been saved. And I can say your life has changed. You got the same name, maybe the same complexion. And some of you women maybe is in your fifth hair color tonight. But we all, my friend, we all was something that we're not tonight. We're different tonight than we were a few years or a few months or a few weeks or even maybe 20 years ago. Look what it says here, if you would, in verse 11. "And such were some of you." I want to show us tonight what we were. What were we before we got saved? The Bible gives us a long list here in verse 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Here the Apostle Paul stops for a minute. My friend, what we were before we got saved was the unrighteous. Notice what it says here in verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous," that's what we were. We was the unrighteous. I was unrighteous in myself. And it gives us a long list of what the unrighteous are. It says in verse 9, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators." And my friend, we know what fornication is. And it also says here, it says idolaters. And we know what idolatry is. Idolatry is worshiping something other than God. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a sports. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's your own family. You should never put anything before the Lord. It says, nor adulterous. And we know what adultery is. It says, nor effeminate. That word effeminate means that a boy or a man should not act like a girl or like a woman. And I heard Jack Howell say this. He said if he had a son that walked around like some of these boys do, he said, I would buy the biggest, roughest, toughest bull I can find. He said, I'd take the biggest, longest roll of duct tape and take my boy to the bull and hit that bull on his rear end and let him ride my boy around for a few hours. He said, my friend, there should be no reason a boy should be effeminate. There's no reason a boy should go around, my friend, acting like a little girl and being sissified. The Bible says for someone to be effeminate is a sin. I like when a man to shake my hand. I like when Brother Mac shakes my hand and when Brother Pete shakes my hand. They just grip it, my friend, and squeeze it till you feel like your fingers is going to crack. I believe every man should have a good, strong handshake. I think about Rennie. Rennie, he does his best to try to squeeze your hand to let you know that you're there. I think about Brother Robert Goss, a man that worked his whole life with his hands. If you ever shook his hand, it was like shaking a piece of leather. It was just rough, tough, real calloused, real hard. I remember one time we was working, he helped me out with the water pump we had on the green van, and I just got through cranking the van, and he went in and ripped them bolts out, and he pulled that water pump out, and he handed it to me. He said, this is your problem. I grabbed the water pump, was tossing it back and forth because it was so hot. He said, if you can't handle it, handle it here. And he grabbed it with his hand and just head on to it. My friend, he wasn't effeminate. He was a strong, robust man. Look at what else the Bible says. It says, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. In verse 10, the Bible says, nor thieves, nor coveters. My friend, it's not right to steal. It's not right to steal one stamp from your business. It's not right to steal one piece of paper from another student at school. It's not right to steal God's time that he's given every one of us. It's not right to steal one Sunday away from the Lord. Notice what else it says. Not only thieves, but covetous. My friend, we shouldn't covet what our neighbor has. We shouldn't covet what God has not given us. And now, my friend, we pulled in the parking lot tonight, and there's a big old black truck out there with the big old wheels that will probably grow through any mud puddle you see. I would love to have a truck like that one. I don't want that one because it's not mine. It belongs to somebody else. But I would love to have a truck like that one. You go down a road and you might see a nice dress, or you might see a woman wearing a nice diamond ring on her finger. It's all right to say, I would love to have one like that one. But you can't have that one because it belongs to somebody else. That's why at Open Door Independent Baptist Church, we believe it's not right to gamble. You're using your money to place wages on money that does not belong to you. Me and Brother John was talking about last night, if God wants you to have it, I believe God will give it to you. I don't have to covet one thing. The Bible says the judge of the earth shall do right. And my friend, I believe the one that judges the earth, the one that judges my life and your life, he will do what's right for me and you tonight, my friend. The Bible says that the unrighteous was those who were thieves and those who was covetous, nor drunkards. My friend, let me ask you one question tonight. How many drops of beer does it take to make a man a drunk? Let me ask you this. How many times does a person have to steal to be a thief? Let me ask you this. How many times does a person have to lie to be a liar? You say, preacher, once a person lies, he's a liar. Once a person steals, he's a thief. Once a person takes one drop of beer, the Bible calls him a drunk. My friend, there's no social drinking. There's no casual drinking. There's no such thing as just having a little sip for your stomach. I've read some books about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And my friend, some of his church members, now don't get no bright idea, but some of his church members used to buy him the finest wine that they could find. And that he said that he used it for medicinal purposes. He used it for a type of medicine to help him with his gout and to help him with his stomach and help him to keep things flowing. But my friend, my belief, my conviction is that one drop of beer is just as bad as one keg of beer. Hey, one little sip of liquor is just as bad as a pint or a fifth or a gallon of Jack Daniels, my friend. And the Bible says here that a drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice what else it says. Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He gave us a long list tonight, but I want you to notice, my friend, we all fit in there somewhere. years. You said, preacher, I've never been a drunk. Well, that's good. You said, preacher, I've never been a reviler. That's good. You said, preacher, I've never been an adulterer. That's good. But notice what the Bible says in verse 9. But know ye not that the unrighteous. And that's all of us, my friend. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. Turn there with me if you would. Romans chapter 3. Let's read this together tonight in Romans chapter 3. We're going to turn a few places tonight in your Bibles. Give you a good time to break them new Scofield Bibles in. But look here if you would in Romans chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says real quick in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have both proven before Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We're going to go through the four nones real quick. There's none righteous, no, not one. In verse 11, the Bible says, there is none that understandeth. That's the second one. There's none good. There's none that understandeth. And it goes on to say, there is none that seeketh after God. Well, that blows a lot of people's bubble there when they said I was looking for Jesus. My friend, when I got saved, I wasn't looking for Jesus, and Jesus wasn't looking for me. Jesus has never been lost, so there's no way I could be looking for him. And my friend, Jesus wasn't looking for me because he knew where I was always at. My friend, he has all knowledge, and he knew every step I ever took. But thank God, Jesus was wanting to come to me and save my unworthy soul and give me a place in heaven. The Bible says there's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Look in verse 12 for the fourth, none. They're all gone out of their ways, they altogether become unprofitable, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Many times we say this, I learned this from Preacher Larry, you shake somebody's hand, you say, how you doing today? They say, I'm doing pretty good. And I say, well, you're pretty and you're good, ain't you? And they say, well, I don't know about the first part, but they say, I'm trying to do pretty good. When somebody shake my hand, they say, Pastor, how you doing? I say, well, I'm pretty, I don't say I'm pretty fat, I say I'm fat and pretty. I don't want to say I'm pretty fat, I want to say I'm fat and pretty. My friend, being fat is biblical. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe, 25, verse 28, them that putteth their trust in the Lord shall be made fat. So not some of us is trusting in God more than others. Some of us is more biblical than others. But the Bible says there's none righteous. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And there is none that doeth good. No, not one. You know what we were before we got saved? We was unrighteous. You know what you was before you got saved? You was unrighteous. You said, preacher, I wasn't a drunk, but you fit in the same category. You said, preacher, I never stole anything, but you fit in the same group. You said, preacher, I've never committed adultery, but you fit right there beside them. The Bible says, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 real quick. I only got 2 points now. We'll go pretty quick. It says here in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous, which was us, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then the Bible goes on to say, and such were some of you. I'm glad it puts that in there, my friend. And such were some of you. And such were some of us. And such were some of me. My friend, I fit in that group. I might not have done some of those things. My friend, I got children here tonight, 4 children. I love them to death. Thank God they're my children. They're part of our family. And you say, preacher, would you ever call your children a drunk? No. Would you ever call them thieves? No. Would you ever call them liars some of the time? Would you ever call them revilers? No. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of the world fits in this one group right here when the Bible says we're all the unrighteous. There's not one better than the other. You go down the road and you see a harlot, my friend, tonight, walking on the corner down there by the block. My friend, the only thing that's different from her and your wife is the grace of God. Today, my friend, if you'll go to the block, as I was coming from school today, I went by the block and I saw them men sitting out there on the milk crates. My friend, they probably had booze all in them. They probably hasn't ate anything all day today. And my friend, they had that little fifth of liquor in their coat. The only thing that separates them and myself tonight is the grace and love of God. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be right down there with them, drinking the liquor out of the same bottle, warming my hands by the same fire, and wearing the same clothes they're wearing. But hey, thank God the Bible says, and such were some of you. But tonight, my friend, we're different. because of Jesus. Hey, thank God Calvary makes a difference. Hey, my friend, thank God Calvary makes all the difference. It's not how much I know that's made a difference in my life. My friend, because I don't know as much as I should know. I was talking to the boys. I was talking to somebody today. I don't know who it was. Or somebody yesterday. I said, I wish I would have learned more in school when I was there. That's right. Me and Brother Jim was out visiting. And we saw a young boy sitting on the top of his car. He didn't have a job. And I asked him about different things. And I asked him about school. And he said, man, I hated school. I said, well, join the crowd. I did too. I said, but you know what I realized? I realize now I wish I would have took time to learn something because it sure would have helped out now. He said, I tell you what, you sure is right. He said, I didn't like school. I hated my teachers. I didn't like learning. I didn't like tests. He said, but it sure would help out today. And my friend, you know what's going on? My friend, I don't know a whole lot. I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. I know more than I used to, but it's not what I can know. It's not what I can do. It's not what I've done that made a difference in my life. It's only simply because of Jesus and his grace and love and mercy and strength in my life that he's made a difference in any one and every one of us. The Bible says, and such were some of you. But I want you to notice what the Bible says. As the Bible says, that's what we were. We were the unrighteous. But what have we become? Notice what the Bible says here in verse 11. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He gives us three things tonight that we become since we got saved by God's amazing grace. The first thing the Bible says, but you are washed. My friend, we've been washed and made clean by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus, his son, forgives us of all sins. It cleans us from all sin, my friend. We've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus tonight. Don't turn here, but let me read this verse to you. In the Gospel of John, don't turn here, because we're going to turn somewhere else real quick in just a minute. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 3, the Bible says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know what Jesus said there? He said, hey, you've been made clean by the word of God. You know what cleans our lives up? Hey, when the Holy Spirit of God moves in, he saves us. The Spirit of God abides within us. He shall lead us and guide us into all truths, my friend. And the more you read God's word, the cleaner your life becomes. Look here, if you would. We'll see this real quick. Ephesians. Find the book of Ephesians for me in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. Well, it sounds like a Sunday morning message, but it's not. It's a Wednesday night Bible study. Get down to the nitty gritty, as J. Vernon McGee said, where the rubber meets the road. We'll get down tonight and see what it means to be washed. And we're going to just skim the top tonight. We're not going to go in great details and great depths because, my friend, you can never exhaust the word of God. So we'll come back to these three things and see what they mean later on in our Bible study. But look here, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 here, Christ is making an illustration. He's making an example out of a husband and wife and their relationship. Look at what it says here. And, Brother John, when we get to your favorite verse now, you jump up and shout and say amen and run around the church. It's all right, okay? It says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here, Brother John's favorite verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In verse 23, the Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even Christ, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Look what it says in verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But notice what it says in verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? Word. By the word. In other words, we are washed by the word of God. We're cleansed by the word of God. We're being made clean by the Word of God. Now, I'm saved. I'm just as much saved today as I was the day I called on Jesus Christ 8 years and a few months ago when I called on Jesus Christ on a Tuesday night to save my unworthy soul. I got saved that night. I was just as much saved then as I am now, as I ever will be. But the more you get in God's Word, the cleaner your mind will become. And the cleaner your mind and heart become, the cleaner your body will become. And the Bible says here in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the bride of Christ. He's talking about me and you, that he might cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You know what Jesus Christ does, my friend? Every time you read the word of God, and I really believe this, every time you read the word of God, he takes the word of God and he washes your mind. All that filth that we've got in our heads, all them wicked songs we got in our minds, all them evil and ungodly thoughts that we thought or that we seen or that we was a part of, every time we can read God's Word. Now, I'm not talking about reading enough just to get bored with it, but I'm talking about reading it to let it burn on the inside. Every time we read God's Word, hey, the Bible washes our brains. It washes away some filth. It washes away some filth. My friend, if you got boys like we got, or you got a boy like Hunter, they got to take two or three baths to get real clean. Now, you can go tell them to go wash off. You can say, Justin, Brandon, Hunter, you can say, hey, go take you a bath. You know what they do? They jump in the water and they splash around a little bit. The bar soap never gets wet. Hey, the shampoo, the tear-free shampoo never gets open. They get a wash rag, my friend, just to wash the side of the tub off. They'd rather do that than wash yourself off. You know, you got to say, hey, get back in that water. You get that bar of soap. You lather it up and you wash your body. You scrub your head. You scrub all the creases in your body. You wash between your toes. You dry off and you put on clean underclothing. Don't put on the same underclothing you wore for the past week. Put on something clean. You know what? Every time we read the Bible, and we really read the Bible to let it get into us, it washes our brain, and it washes our heart, and it makes the old filth go away and put new stuff back in us. 8 years ago, I couldn't quote John 3:16 for you. Hey, 8 years ago, we didn't even have a Bible in our home, in our possession. 8 years ago, the only thing I knew about 3:16 was a wrestler on TV, and my friend, he took something godly and turned into something wicked. But here I'm in, 8 years later, trying to preach to you, trying to help you. The only way I can do that is to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in me and cleanse my mind and cleanse my thoughts. Because if you're anything like me, and you probably are, you can sit in a church on Sunday morning and the devil will make a thought run through your mind that you never wish you would have thought about in church. And boy, you feel unclean. You feel nasty. You feel like you disappointed God. Hey, get in the Word of God and let the Word of God cleanse your mind. That's what the Word of God will do. Look here, if you would, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Mark that. We'd be turning back there pretty regularly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice what else it does. The Bible says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. And we know we're washed by the Word of God. The Word of God washes our minds and washes our hearts and makes us clean. Boy, you get one of them old-fashioned cotton cloth wash rags. It was like a 1-foot by 1-foot wash rag, and you get a bar of that lye soap. How many people know what lye soap is? Yeah, all of us old timers know what lye soap is. I remember Grandma used to cook it outside in the backyard, about burn my eyeballs out when she threw that lye in there and cook it with all that grease. I said, Grandma, that won't never get us clean. But you get a part of that lye soap, it won't never square, it's all kind of lumpy and round. And you get it and start washing, hey, it starts burning. It burned off a layer of skin. You ain't had no choice but to get clean. Boy, you didn't even have to worry about shaving. Just put some of that lye soap on your face and it burn your hairs off. The Word of God washes us thoroughly. But not only that, but notice what the Bible says in verse 11. But you are washed, but you are sanctified. You know what the word sanctified means? It means to be set apart. It means to be set apart for God's use. Tonight, beloved, you see this water, this cup? Thank you. That cup is set apart. That cup is set apart for me to use. Now, if you're real thirsty, you can come up here and drink some water. But you probably won't do that. You'll go to the water fountain. Because this cup of water is set apart just for my use. Now, after every service, the cup has got to be refilled. It's got to be refilled with the water. Like us, my friend. Hey, we got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we're leaked down. We got to be filled again and filled again and filled again. But God has sanctified us. God has set us apart for Him. I want to read these few verses to you. And you don't have to, I want you to turn to this one for me. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn there with me, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll see something here about being sanctified. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Read along with me, if you will. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Notice the worst wording here. It says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. So my friend tonight, if we're sanctified, and we are, now that sanctified has two meanings, and the first meaning applies to all of us. We've been set apart for God and for God's use. And we're meet for the master's use. No one else should be using us. No one else. The devil should never use us. The world should never use us. Our own selves should never use us. Lee Robertson preached a message one day. He read a book. He preached a message off of it. And he said it changed his life. The title of the message is, when would you die? He said the greatest day of his life is when he died. When he died himself and lived for the Lord. To be sanctified means you're set apart for God and God's glory. Let me read this to you. It's about a Nazarite in Numbers chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. But I want to read this to you. And notice every time the word is mentioned that says set apart. Notice what it says here. Now, listen real carefully so you know exactly what I'm trying to tell you tonight. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either a man or a woman. Now, Nazarite could be a man or a woman. It says here, when a man or a woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite to separate themselves unto the Lord. You heard what it says? The Bible says they separated themselves unto the Lord. They were separated unto the Lord. In verse 3, the Bible says, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, nor vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat morse grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husks. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the day he be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord. Now there's three things a Nazarite couldn't do when he vowed the vow of a Nazarite. He couldn't eat grapes or drink liquor or anything that pertaineth unto any of that stuff. He couldn't shave his head. He had to let his hair grow. And whatever the Bible says, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So why would God put it in here that a Nazarite, a man, should let his hair grow long? It was a sign of humility. Everyone that saw him with the long hair, they said, hey, he's humble. He's got humility. He's separated unto the Lord. And the third thing they couldn't do is touch a dead body. We'll read this here in just a few minutes. The Bible says in verse 6, and all the days of his that he has separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, or for his brother, or for his sisters when they die, because he is consecrated of his God is upon his head. In other words, if his daddy was to die, he couldn't hug him. If his mama was to die, he couldn't hug her. If his brother or sister, the child was to die, he couldn't hug and embrace the body because he took a vow. He took it seriously. He said, hey, these things I will not do. But notice what it says. Let me just read this verse to you in verse 8. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. So what does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be set apart. It means to be separated unto the Lord from the world. We're washed. And if church, how are we washed? Can somebody help me out on that? How are we washed? By the Word of God. The Word of God washes us and makes us clean. And then we're sanctified. And sanctified means what? Set apart. It means to be set apart for the Lord. We're set apart for the Lord. Turn back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice this last thing. This last thing real quickly. We're going to go through it together. I want to show you some verses, I believe. It'd be an encouragement to you tonight. It was for me. The Bible says in verse 11, "And such were some of you." That's what we were before we were saved, but this is what we are after we got saved. We've been washed. We've been sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by His Spirit, by the Spirit of God. So we're washed, we're sanctified, and now the Bible says we're justified. Boy, that word justified has got a great meaning to it. It's got such a great meaning, it'll take more than just 1 week to tell you what it means for us to be justified in the sight of God. Just to give you some real quick things about it real quick. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 3 again. Romans chapter 3. I want you to see this. The Bible said we're washed by the water or the Word of God. We're sanctified or set apart for the Lord. But then the Bible says we're justified. In Romans chapter 3, let's look at verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that's right, ain't it, church? That's every one of us. That's from the pastor to the beautiful pastor's wife, on down to his children, on down to your children, on down to yourself. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here's the good news in verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 26. He's just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. So tonight, church, if you believe in Christ as I have, we put our faith and trust in Christ, and we've been made new again, we've been born again, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. We're Christians tonight because we're saved. The Bible says that He's the justifier. He's made us just in the sight of God. Let me ask you this tonight, my friend. Let's say if I was a judge, and I've heard this many times. Raise your hand if you ever heard this. I've been visiting sometimes, and I tell somebody, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and because of your sins, you're going to have to die and go to hell. And I have had people to say to me, if God's such a good God, why would He send anybody to hell? Anybody ever heard that before? A bunch of us. If God's such a good God, why would He send anybody to hell? Well, listen to this. Imagine tonight I was a judge, right? And let me pick somebody tonight. Let's say we'll pick Brother Robert. I'm not picking on him, but I believe he can take it. And let's say Brother Robert come to me and say, Judge, a man broke in my house last night, and he killed my wife, he killed my son, and kidnapped my daughter. I've got him on videotape. I've got him on a camera. I was an eyewitness. My neighbor saw him. My pastor saw him. We got all this evidence against this man. And he said, Judge, I want you to do something about it. And I will look at this man that done this horrible crime to Brother Robert and his family. I say, Sir, the evidence against you, you killed his family. You killed his wife. You killed his son. You kicked out his daughter. They got you on film. They got you on cassette tape. They got all this evidence against you. And it's been proven that you've been found guilty of this crime. But I'm such a loving and tender judge, I'm going to let you go free. Would that be justice for Brother Robert? It wouldn't. It wouldn't. Because crime needs consequences. Crime needs to be punished, as far as sin needs to be punished. So could God be a just God and send people to hell? He sure can. As I will be a just judge by sending this man to the electric chair, I will be just. As God is just by sending people to hell that does not believe in Jesus Christ. But the Bible says all that believes in him is justified. And the Bible says he's just by doing that because he's the justifier. What does it mean to be justified? Look in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, real quick. The Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be justified? It means that we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. We've been bought back from the slave market of sin. We've been redeemed. I want you to notice also what it says here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Well, look what it says, if you would, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does justified mean we're redeemed, but the justified means that we have peace with God. Now, we didn't have peace with God before we got saved, but I was scared to death. I was scared to death to die. I was scared to death when you go to a juke joint at night and a man pulls out a pistol and puts it in your gut and says, I'm going to blow your brains out. I was scared to death to die in the sins that I was in. But hey, thank God, when you got saved by God's grace, he's giving you peace, my friend. Now, I don't want to die anytime soon, but I know if I die tonight, I know I'll be in heaven. And because of that thought, I've got peace tonight. You got peace? Hope you got peace. The Bible says because we're justified, we've been redeemed. We've been given peace. Look in verse 9 of Romans chapter 5, verse 9. The Bible says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Not only are we redeemed, not only do we have peace, but we're saved from wrath. That means we're not going to suffer the wrath of God. We're not going to be left here to suffer the wrath of God. Being justified means we've been redeemed. We've got peace. We've been saved from the wrath of God. Notice this, if you would, Galatians, the little book of Galatians. Turn there with me. Just to give you some toppings on your ice cream tonight. Here in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Notice what the Bible says about being justified. We've been redeemed. We've got peace. We've been saved from wrath. But look what it says in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 16. The Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we're justified, that means we've been redeemed, that means we've got peace, that means we're saved from the wrath of God, and it's all through Jesus Christ tonight. That means I don't have to worry about justifying myself, Jesus Christ done it for me. And because he's done it for me, he's done a perfect and complete work. That means I don't have to do one thing, I can't add one thing to it, I can't take one thing from it, because Christ has done the work. This pulpit up here is finished. A little bit too high for me. Either I need to grow or it needs to shrink. But it's complete. I can't do one more thing to make it complete. I can't take off one thing and it still be complete. If I just take off this pretty top piece, it's incomplete. If I would add another piece on the top of it, it's incomplete. And that's just like justified. Jesus Christ in himself has justified us and we're complete in Jesus. I want you to see this one last thing in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Turn there with me if you would, real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And girl, we will give a test right after this. See how much y'all know. 1 Timothy chapter 3. What does it really mean to be justified? I'm going to tell you after I read this verse to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Notice what it says. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory. It says here that Jesus, the mystery, is that Jesus is justified in the spirit. In other words, Jesus Christ is the only one truly justified in himself. And because we believe in him, his perfect record was imputed to us. His perfect sinless account was given to us on our behalf. So what does it mean to be washed? It means God takes his word and washes our minds and washes our hearts and washes our bodies. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be set apart for God and God's use. What does it mean to be justified? It means that I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God as if I was never a sinner. Not as if I've never sinned, as if I was never a sinner. To be justified, I'm going to stand before God one day. And he's not going to look on me as someone that he's forgiven sins. He's going to look on me as one like his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. To be justified in God's sight means that he's going to look at us as though we was never sinners. Boy, that's something. My sins is gone, and heaven's my home, and that's wonderful. But the greatest thing to me is when I get to heaven, I'm justified. God's going to look at me, and he's not going to remember one sin. He's not going to think about one sin. He's going to look at me as he looks at his own dear Son, Jesus Christ, as a perfect, sinless person. And all of that's because of Jesus. The Bible says we're drunkards, revilers, extortioners, thieves, liars, all those things. The Bible says, and such were some of you, but now we're washed. We've been made clean by the word of God. The Bible says, but now you're sanctified. We've been set apart. Ain't that wonderful? Set apart for God. And now the Bible says we're justified. God looks at us today as though we're already there. You know that? The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In God's mind, we're already there. We're already in heaven as his only Son. Well, that's a blessing in my heart. Because, friend, I come short, I mess up like you do all the time. But it's good to know I can look up to heaven and God don't see my sins. God don't remember my past sins. But he looks at me like he looks at his only begotten Son, washed and sanctified and justified. Now, that doesn't give us a license to sin. It doesn't give us a license, as some people say, go out there and live like you want to. Thank God when God looks down at us. He don't see all of our imperfection. He don't see all of our blemishes. He don't see all of our spots. He sees someone that's been washed and been polished and been set apart as though there's never been anything wrong with it. I've got some trophies, and I've got them stored back there in that little red barn the church has got. I got Rookie of the Year, the MVP of the Year, all those trophies out there in a barn. Mama remembers when I used to play football and baseball at the rec. Them trophies need to be polished. They need to be dusted. They need to be displayed somewheres. And my friend, if I take them out, if I polish them, clean them up and put them on the shelf, you'll come home or you'll come to my house and you'll see them on the mantle. You'll believe they've always been there in that same spot. I'm going to tell us tonight when God looks at us, I'm not perfect and neither are you, but God looks at us as though we've been washed. We've been set apart and we've been made perfect by Jesus. Ain't that something? I appreciate that we've been washed and sanctified and justified. Now, I'm not justified in myself, only through Jesus. That's wonderful to me that we have all these things. The Bible says, and such were some of you. But thanks to Calvary, we're different than who we used to be. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We love you. Tonight, Lord, I love you for what you've done for me. You've done something for me that I could not do or no one else could do. Lord, you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross so I could be saved. And the day I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God started taking the Word of God and washing my heart and washing my mind and making it clean for Jesus. and all that, but that day I got saved, I've been sanctified or set apart for God. I'm glad I got a reason to live. I got a reason to wake up every day and smile, because God in heaven has personally given each and every one of us something to do for Him. And I thank You for that. And Lord God, I thank You that I've been justified by the blood of Jesus. I know that doesn't give me a license to sin. It doesn't give me permission to live any way I want to. I should live holy because of who saved me. I thank You, God, that tonight I can go in my secret place and pray, and God in heaven will look down at me as though I have never been a sinner. I thank You for the precious blood of Jesus, who completes every one of us. Lord, help us tonight. I pray we'll find us a place on this altar and just thank You and praise You and worship You. I pray, God, if one's here tonight that's not saved, whoever he or she may be, they come to this altar tonight and receive Christ as their Savior. I pray, Father, You continue to wash us, that we'll strive to be perfect like the Lord. God, that we realize we've been sanctified, we've been set apart. We're a vessel for the Master's use. And that we've been justified in the sight of God. I pray, Father, You help us tonight.